welcome to this week's sermon from C3 Church Narara. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Chris Brown. For more information or to contact us, visit c3church.narara.net.
Praise the Lord. Wow. Again, thank you to everyone for today and for 30 years. As we've shared before, we're very blessed and touched and we're thankful to the Lord. Father God, we look to you. You are amazing. And yes, we thank you for this great day of celebration. We celebrate you, your presence, your people combining, your power flows, your presence is here, that your promises are fulfilled in our lives. We thank you for all you've done in the past, but we look to the future as well. We thank you the next 30 years. We prophesy and proclaim for this church as part of the church of Jesus around the world, on the coast. We want to just be used by you. We want to see you glorified. We want to see your kingdom expanded. And as that song's talked and sang about, we want to see the gospel, the good news of Jesus, reaching the community, changing lives, to helping people to turn their life around, overcome addictions and get off the break off the work of the devil or whatever's gone on in their life. And we see people born again in Jesus' name. We thank you. The gospel continues. We thank you. The church continues to be built, to grow, and the light on the hill will shine brighter and brighter. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you for today. We thank you for your word. And I pray you would speak to us something we can apply to our lives for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, have a seat again. So I want to read a scripture, in fact, just two, one now and one in a little bit. And the first one is from Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. And it might come up, there it is. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. So men, you thought you were coming to a special church service and a free lunch, but now you're actually in a marriage seminar. Because right there, that sets the bar pretty high. And ladies, you love this scripture, don't you? And so you should, because it is a powerful message for men, which I actually will be sharing in a marriage seminar next Saturday in Albuquerque, New Mexico, where Sarah and Luke and Anthea and Noah come from. Well, I don't know about Noah, but he was born there too. Okay, so thanks to Craig Stevens, God used a divine connection, long story, but anyway, Ruth and I have been asked to go over and preach in a church and teach and run a marriage seminar, and so you better behave and look after me, babe, for the next week or so. We gotta look good. But I want you to notice the second part that says Christ loved the church and gave himself up for it. Jesus loves the church. He loves the church so much, he went to Calvary and allowed himself to be crucified. He laid down his life. He gave his life up for the church. And why does Jesus love the church so much to do this? Because he loves people. And the church is full of people, all kinds of people. In fact, that's all the church is. The church isn't a building. Much as we love this facility and we're grateful for people who have given to it and we develop it and it's awesome. We had a bunch of kids from the local Christian school here the other day for their year 12 retreat, and they're using the facilities and you know, weddings and worship services and kids ministries and youth, and it's a great facility. But the church is people meeting to worship God anywhere. And so the church isn't the institution. People often connect the two and just think that's all the church is, some sort of religious organization. It's sadly sometimes a bad representative of the Lord, and people have got to work their way through that. But if you do, you realize, no, the church is just people in all shapes, sizes, kinds, flavors, styles, worshiping the Lord. And that's why Jesus loves the church, yeah? And of course, Jesus wants people who are not yet part of the church to be in the church. He wants to reach them. So it's through the church that people hear about Jesus. And it's in the church that people grow in Jesus. And it's for the church that the world is awaiting the second coming of Jesus. And that's why Jesus loves the church so much. Because he said it all, Matthew 16:18, Okay, I said two scriptures. I've slipped three. But you don't have to turn there. But you may know that one. I will build my church, Jesus said. That's the simplest vision statement. You know, corporate people always talk about a vision statement, a mission statement. Pack this down and work this out. And then Jesus just said it 2,000 years ago. I'll build my church. That's in his mind. That's in his heart. That's what he's aiming for, because he knows the church is the hope of the world. The church is light in the darkness. It's a center of salvation. It's a home for hope and healing. It's a place for purpose and meaning for people to connect with God himself. And so Jesus loves the church. In fact, he loves the church so much, the Bible describes the church as the bride of Christ. So, like I said, I better look after my bride, because after 37 years, someone's asked us to go and teach on how to have a good marriage. So I love Pastor Fergus McIntyre, who recently went home to be with the Lord. And he used to prophesy over so many different people. It was amazing, great ministry. And then his wife, Judy, would be faithfully there in the front row, taking notes all the time, even though she'd heard all the jokes, all the sermons, all the messages before. But she would, and then he'd say, "Jude, the Lord's got a word for you." And she'd go, "Oh, okay. The Lord says, love your husband more," you know. And that was his big joke. And I heard him tell that so many times, probably every time. And then he'd get back to it and get some stranger out and prophesy over him, and they'd think the pastor had told them their deepest, darkest secrets, but he had never met them before, and, you know, God used him in a powerful way. But Jesus loves his church like a bride, the bride of Christ. And a Christian marriage is meant to be a reflection of that relationship. Close, special, intimate, loving, sacrificial, and incredibly rewarding and fun. And that's how he wants us to experience life in his church, as his bride, in relationship with him personally, and then relationship with brothers and sisters, which is a different metaphor that the Bible uses, because we're part of the family of God. And that's why we talk about church here as a family, not an institution. It's a community, not a corporation. It's all about relationships, because that's the essence of the church, the Lord with us and then us with each other. So if we love Jesus, then we will love what he loves. So that means we'll also love the church. Now, is the church perfect? No. Have church leaders failed people at times? Yes. But Jesus is perfect and he's never failed anyone. So we just have to manage our expectations about people. We remember that people are flawed, but in spite of that, Jesus is still building his church. He's still loving people. He's still interceding for his church, the Bible says. And you may remember Bob Gass. He wrote the Word for Today devotional. Brilliant. And he put this very well. Before you attack the leadership, withdraw your membership, or withhold your stewardship, remember that nothing on earth is dearer to the heart of God than his church. When you hurt any part of the body, you also hurt the head. And keep this in mind, the only thing on earth that has a future is the church. All the rest is going up in smoke. And the church's insurance policy is guaranteed by Jesus himself, who said, "I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." Amen. So love your church. Jesus does. Thank you, Bob. Couldn't have said it better myself. And so when you love the church, that's a sign of Christian maturity. Because when you grow in God, you get over your hurdles, your hurts that you may have with people or institutions. And we don't dismiss that. We know there's been a lot of bad things that have gone on, and as I said, people aren't perfect, and man-made institutions can really get it wrong. But if you love the Lord, you'll work through that and still connect. You'll still realize that, hey, I'm going to move from being a consumer to a contributor, because that's growing in God, that's maturing, and you realize, oh, I'm going to get behind what God is doing. You know, it's very easy. I've heard people say, "Oh, I love Jesus, but I hate the church." It's like, well, you need to think that through, because if you really love Jesus, you will love his church. You might have to forgive some people along the way, but you'll work your way through that one if you really love him, yeah? And I don't, you know, I didn't get brought up. Many of you know my story. I didn't ever go to church. Literally never went to a church service when I was a kid. And nothing against my parents, you know, they would just do it. Brilliant parents in many ways, raised me well. But church thing just wasn't a thing. Didn't go to Sunday school. The very first time I ever went to a church service after I'd become a Christian, they did communion and it freaked me out. I had no idea what was going on. They were walking down the front, they were kneeling down, and the guy at the front wearing some pretty funny clothes, which I had never seen before, it was giving them something to eat, and then they were drinking something from this cup, and then he was wiping it, and they were going along. I thought, what is going on? I had no idea what communion was, and they were all walking down, and in aisles, one aisle at a time, and then they had these little things you'd fold down and kneel on. And so you'd be in the church and they'd say, right, we're going to pray now. And we're all standing, and they're all kneeling down. So I'd kneel down and the next thing I'm praying, okay, yeah. And then I look around, oh, they're all standing up again. Right. So then I stand up and hang on, now they're seated. They're not kneeling, they're seated. And depending on, and then they're looking the yellow praise book, but then the green prayer book and the purple hymn book. And I was all, you know, but I had to work through all that. But I did discover that the church was awesome. That the church was where God wanted me, that the church was God's family, and that if I was going to grow in God, I needed to be in the church. So, you know, I would never have thought I would do what I do for a living, you know, when I was younger. So I don't sort of rave about the church because I grew up with it and think, you know, that's just what you do like a duty. I'm a passionate believer because I've seen it change lives, my own included. And so, as I said, if you grow in God, then you want to become part of His church. You want to serve the Lord there. You want to use your gifts there. You want to love and bless people and serve God with your life. And as a result, your life becomes richer, yeah, more rewarding. And, you know, these days you hear people say it's very important to be part of something bigger than yourself. You've heard that said. It makes for good living. It's very true because it helps when it helps you grow when you're part of a cause, something, you know, contributing to something that makes a difference in the local community or reaching some part of the world. But you can't get involved in anything bigger or better than the church. Amen. And so I love what Jay John says. Now, he's a very funny Englishman. You may have heard of him. I won't try and do his accent, but he's just a very funny guy, and the way he says things makes things more humorous than what I'm going to present, but I'll do my best. But he talks about... He's an evangelist, so people ask, he uses this thing by asking people, oh, what do you do? And he tells the story when he's on an aeroplane meeting the lady next to him. And he asks her, what do you do? And she tells him, you know, what she does. And then she says, what do you do? And then he launches, he says, well, I'm part of a global enterprise. We have outlets in nearly every country of the world. We have homeless shelters, feeding programs, justice work, orphanages, marriage programs, teaching for children. Basically, we look after people from birth to death and we help them with behavioral alteration. And she said, wow. And he tells this story. She goes, what's it called? And he says, it's called the church. Have you heard of it? You know, and so it leads into it all because he's a minister just trying to knock people off, not put them off straight away by saying, I'm a minister. He's just trying to, you know, basically give the church a good sell that it deserves that people don't give it credit for once you say the church. But there is so much. Just in this church, over the years, we've seen so many lives change. We've seen children raised up and go in the way that God wants them to. They're now adults teaching their own kids to, you know, live life well and bringing their kids. I spoke to a couple just 2 days ago, and this woman was lamenting the fact that her grandson, the son, had to take the kid out of preschool because he got in trouble for calling a kid a boy, and they were told that child's gender has not yet been determined and they're on a journey and you can't call him. And the father went, well, this is ridiculous. I can't put up with this. And then she said, so where are you meant to take kids? I said, I'll tell you where you're meant to take them. Take them to a church like ours and let them go to the Sunday school, because that's where they'll get taught the values that you want them to have. They'll get to know there is right and wrong and what is true and what isn't, and they'll you know, cotton on to what is the best way to live. And so we've seen this, you know, over the years, young couples falling in love, getting married, you know, having kids who are now growing up and, I don't know, maybe falling in love, you know, as we go on in the generations. We've given people a good send-off to heaven, sadly sometimes, like Nazir, Luke, as he was named by his parents, but then he adopted that name on his journey. So sometimes it's been tragic, sometimes it's been in triumph. Good long life lived for the Lord, and off they go. We've seen amazing healings, breakthroughs, miracles that God's done. We've stood by people who have suffered just heartache, and then they've found through prayer and support of others the comfort and the peace that only God can bring. We've seen financial breakthroughs in many people's lives, people wanting to buy their own home or get out of debt or start a business. The blessing of God has come. They've been in His house. We've sent resources around the world, financial and human resources, to bless ministries and churches overseas and in other parts of Australia, like the Lake Cajeligo outreach that carries on. And we've watched people experience all kinds of victory over challenges and dramas and addictions and distressing situations that had no hope except for the power of God that, again, flows through the local church that people get a hold of. And so today we're celebrating. But let me ask you, what's the best celebration you've ever been to? Well, you know, some people might be real party animals. They say, oh, there was this wild party. I remember others are like, no, that's not my style. A dinner party. Oh, it was divine, quiet, calm, good food, you know. Others might think of birthdays, anniversaries, all different. But I think we would all agree that some of the best celebrations you would ever go to are weddings. Yeah. You know, there's this wonderful excitement, there's the thrill of seeing this couple come together finally, they're unified, all that anticipation being realised, the long wait's over, the bride and the groom come together, you know, it's exciting. Well, the ultimate wedding is going to happen at the end of time, because I mentioned that Jesus has a bride, the church, and the bride is being prepared. The bride is preparing herself. The bride is getting ready and anticipating the marriage with Jesus. And the Bible talks about this at the end of the Bible, the last book of the Bible, prophesying about the future. In Revelation 19, it says, "Rejoice, give Him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb," that's Jesus, the Lamb of God, the perfect sacrifice, "the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His wife has made herself ready." His wife, His bride, is the church. And so if you follow Jesus here on earth, you'll be part of that celebration, part of His bride, meeting with Him face to face, celebrating the end of all the pain and problems and dramas that the world's thrown at us. You leave all that behind and you look forward to being fully in His presence, in glory for eternity. Awesome. What a great day it'll be. And notice there it says, there'll be rejoicing and giving glory to God on that day. But we can also rejoice and give glory to God on this day. You don't have to wait till then. That'll be the fulfillment of what we begin to experience in this life. And so we can start by loving Him, committing our lives to Him, and loving His church, His bride, and being part of it. Amen? Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Let's pray. I'm sure the band will have a song for us at the end. And in fact, I'm going to get young Anthony to pray over our lunch. Give grace. Where's Anthony? Leah, find your son. Come, Anthony. So let me pray over the word, and then we'll give thanks for lunch, which is provided afterwards. And then, as I said, I guess you guys have got a song. Father God, we thank You. Well, we thank You for today, Lord, and it is a great day of celebration. And we look forward to that day when we're in Your presence. And it'll happen for all of us at the end of this life. We've got to decide where we're going to go and who we're going to be with. We decide right now, Lord, to follow You. Jesus, You're just awesome. You're the way, You're the way, the truth and the life. You're the essence of what we need in life. And I want to encourage you right now, a moment of prayer, make sure you commit your life to Christ. Give your life to Jesus at any point in your life. It's just a simple, heartfelt prayer. The Bible talks about repentance, turning away from our mistakes, our sin, living life the way we think we should on our own, and realizing, no, God knows best, and just giving Him, laying down our life. And then we pick up the life He gives us. Lord Jesus, we put our trust, our faith in You. And we thank You for the great life You've provided for us. We want to follow You. We want to keep being part of your church as you build it. We want to live in unity and love and forgiveness. We want to use our gifts for your glory. We want to be not lazy and selfish with our life. We want to be sacrificial. We want to be servants of the living God and be part of your kingdom expansion. What an exciting time to live, Lord. You're building your church. We're reaching the world with the good news of Jesus, and we can be part of that through our prayers, through our witness, through using our gifts. Lead us and show us how that can happen. For each one of us, Lord, what an exciting future we have as a community here and part of the wider Church of Jesus around the world. Let the next 30 years be greater and better than the past, and let us be part of that. Let's keep growing in God. Help us, Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise the Lord. Anthony, come and pray over our lunch for us.
Thank you. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for bringing Pastors Chris and Ruth to the church and bringing them here to the Central Coast instead of being in Rome or Paris or wherever they could have gone. I thank you for helping them lead and grow this church into what it is today. I thank you that today is a wonderful and beautiful day to be celebrating our 30 years. I pray that the food that we'll shortly be eating will be amazing and blessing to our bodies, and that you'll bless the hands that prepared it. And in Jesus' mighty name, amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this week's sermon. For more information or to contact us, visit c3church.narara.net.
There is power in the name, Jesus.